Welcome to Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 27th, 2007. This is Joe Francica and Adina Schutzberg of Directions Media. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to the top news of the week shortly, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Attend the Developer Summit in Palm Springs, California, March 19th through the 22nd. The conference features in-depth technical sessions and opportunities to interact one-on-one with ESRI development staff. To register, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag.
In today's podcast, we'll take a closer look at KML search. All right, so once upon a time, I had this idea that all you needed to do in order to do some complex spatial queries was to hook up Google, Google Earth, Google Maps with Oracle. And the idea was, do you really need a GIS to begin with? My idea was, cut out the middleman, and what you're doing is you have a very strong visualization engine with a very strong database search engine. Subsequent to that, there comes out the announcement about KML search, and it's just fascinating to me because, you know, if we started to index all of this spatial information, all of the information we've got in repositories as a KML statement, then we have democratized spatial information, and at the very least we can get at it a lot quicker than we have before. So that was my idea of what was going on with the KML search.
So it sounds like you think we're a lot closer to that vision that you had now with Google coming out and making this available.
Well, isn't it closer to the semantic search that we, you know, that everybody envisions for Web 2.0, that we're able to elicit a very clean sentence of what I want from the web and be able to retrieve that information rather quickly?
I think it's a cleaner search. I don't think I'd agree with you that we're closer to the semantic web, because remember, the semantic web means that there's sort of more understanding of the question. You know, right now you're basically asking a very smart query. You're saying, for example, if you're doing it at the Google search engine, you're just saying, search all the KML or the KMZ files that have this certain text in it. But that's nothing really special. When you do it in Google Earth and soon in Google Maps, you basically are allowed to put a spatial boundary around that. You know, search only within the city of Boston or where I happen to be in the Google Earth on my screen. So we're not really to the semantic web, but as you point out, you don't need to buy any software. You have to do a little bit of work, perhaps, to attach that little bit of KML to whatever it is you want to have found in this spatial search and make it publicly available on the web so it can be found by the robots. But other than that, you're in pretty good shape.
So maybe you can explain a little bit further, because maybe for the people who are listening, they need a little bit finer definition of what's in the KML file that's being put out there.
You have a layer of information that you've created in MapInfo, in ArcGIS, in whatever it is, you know, you happen to use as your favorite tool. Now, you want to make that available on the web to people who are looking for that kind of data, for that particular geography. What you need to do is not take that whole piece of data and convert it to some other form. What you need to do is give it some metadata, right? And we know what metadata is. It's data about the data. But now, instead of doing, you know, creating some FGDC formatted metadata, you're going to create perhaps a very small KML file that has the geographic boundary of that and some keywords about what's in there. And
okay,
That's what the KML search is going to find. And when it comes up as one of your results, there's going to be some information that says, this is the information that Joe put together on thus and such a date, and it's available in MapInfo format.
So let's go back to the example that you had given when you had the interview with Michael Jones, and you said you had the fire plugs. If I'm a local government and I wanted to display out there all of the fire hydrants in my jurisdiction, how do I do that?
Okay, well, let's start with what is your information? How is your information currently stored?
Let's say I've got I work in ArcGIS, and
so you've got a geo database that has your fire plugs in it.
Right, and so I want to export this to KML.
Okay, well, you can do that now. using ESRI has tools to do it. There's some other tools to do it. And that would basically spit you out a file of KML of the same data, right?
Okay.
And then you can look at that. You can look at that in Google Earth right now.
Right. Now, how do I make that searchable for the world?
Okay. Well, that doesn't need to be tagged with KML because it already is KML.
Mm-hmm.
So Google, if it found this file out in its searching of the web, would automatically index it. The reason that you need to put that metadata on your map info file I just described is that the Google search tool doesn't know how to walk inside of a map info file and get the information about it.
Right. I guess that's my basic question is, how do I expose that KML file to the world?
Well, and that's something one of our readers already made a suggestion that, you know, when you create a data set in your favorite GIS, there should be a button that says, oh, and by the way, make me some KML metadata for this, please.
Mm-hmm.
And then that information would be posted perhaps on the same page in the header. Or I'm not exactly sure how you'd, you know, physically do that. That would make it findable using a KML search.
So the other thing you had asked Michael Jones was, you know, about his vision for, you know, why this is relevant to the world, for example, and exposing a lot of different types of information out there essentially makes Google Earth, Google Maps, the search place. He called it the search of places, right, instead of the search of pages.
Right.
And so that really is an interesting concept.
It is, and I think it makes a lot of people nervous because, you know, we love the fact that Google, you know, says it's not going to be evil. But, you know, if we're entrusting, if we're going to buy into this vision and we're going to go tag all of our information with KML, you know, are we comfortable with that? Because that, you know, KML is a Google thing. And, you know, is that really the way we want to have our geospatial information searched? And I found some interesting information about KML and its relationship to Google and its relationship to international standards. And it turns out, as part of the work that the OGC is doing, OGC is working on making KML an international standard. Now, that work is currently in the early stages, and there's actually a public email list if folks want to be involved with what that might look like. But that might, you know, make us feel more comfortable that we're not having a company, you know, that has full control of what KML is versus having an international standard in which many people participate and what it's about and how it works.
So if I go back to my example of using a local government wants to expose this to its constituents, do we think that down the road that they would feel comfortable in doing this? I mean, is this the way that a local government may operate in the future, that they're just spitting out little KML files, you know, school board, you know, school districts boundaries, or, you know, again, fire hydrants, so anything like
that? As opposed to leaving that in its native GIS format?
Yes, or making a web browser. In other words, you know, we've seen many, many local governments expose their data in a web browser, and, you know, they've used ArcIMS or they've used MapGuide. So what happens then?
I see. So would they continue to do that, or would they, in a sense, take advantage of the fact that Google already has such a browser and that they could very easily allow their visitors to grab whatever data they were interested in and overlay it right on top of Google Earth or
right.
Google Maps?
Exactly.
That's a really good question, and I think a lot of it comes down to are they comfortable with that from a security standpoint? Are they comfortable with that from an economic standpoint? I have to believe that it's very attractive from an economic standpoint, because no new software to buy. In fact, Google is spending all the money in making the base information available in Google Maps and Google Earth, and all the town or city is responsible for is that information that gets laid on top. So that could fundamentally change how things work. But again, we sort of all have to agree that this is the way we're going to do it. I mean, what's very exciting about this is it has the potential to be a de facto standard. And the reason that it does is because, frankly, because it's Google. We all already know how to use that. We know how to use Google Earth. We know how to use Google Maps. We know how to search. We don't have to do anything special as end users. I think that's very, very attractive. One of the things that I thought was interested in keeping an eye on how the folks in the blogosphere and on the web were reacting to this announcement, so somebody asked, well, why aren't more people jumping up and down? Why aren't more people excited about this? And I'll ask you. We seem to be very taken with this. This is the second week in a row we're talking about it. But are people not seeing the implications? Is it scary? Do they think Google is trying to be evil?
No, I just think people are heads down in the work they do on a day-to-day basis, and they're probably not fully aware of what the ramifications are. They may be aware of it. They may think that it's maybe not a big deal, but frankly, we're all so engaged in what we do that perhaps the eventual implications of this are somewhat down the road.
Technology to make this possible is rolling out all the time. In fact, it was an announcement just today from Metacarta that now its toolkit, which will basically geographically tag unstructured text, will spit out KML. So there's a way to, in a sense, automatically geotag your content ready for action with Google's new search tools. That'll wrap up our discussion for this week. ESRI would like you to know that GITA 2007 will be held in San Antonio, Texas on March 4th to the 7th. They invite you to visit ESRI in booth 223 to see their latest solutions for geospatial professionals. And you can find more information at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Thanks for joining us for another Directions Media podcast. We're glad you tuned in today. Please join us next week and be sure to tell a friend.